Journeying figures a lot over this summer here. We've been looking at some different passages from the book of Exodus, just as God's people journey from slavery through to this land that he has promised them. And then Sunday evenings, we've listened to other people talk about journeys, maybe their own journeys of faith, maybe journeys that other folks have taken from this area to go. I think 300 years ago, a large group of people from this area went off to America to find something new. People who have actually taken journeys to serve God elsewhere. We've been looking at those journeys, and during the week, then in our holiday Bible club, it was about a journey. It was about a journey through that week that we call Holy Week, but also a journey with Jesus through those events. A lot of journeying going on. I wonder how you prepare for a journey, whatever journey it is. What do you pack? What do you not pack? What are the things that you wish you had packed, or the things when you get there you realize, I definitely didn't need to bring that with me? Preparing for a journey is quite difficult. What do you keep with you in case it goes missing? One famous occasion when Heather and I lived in Kenya, all of our worldly goods were put into bags to go into hold luggage in a little flight from Nairobi to Kisumu. And everything, our money, our passports, everything went into this bag, into the hold of the plane, which was fine until we were left standing in the terminal building thinking, oh, that's our plane. And off it went with everything. So you need to be careful what you put where. That did end well, by the way. What do you prepare? How do you prepare for a journey? We have a family member, and when we go to visit her, almost inevitably, as we're leaving the door, she'll say, do you want an orange for the journey? And it doesn't matter whether the journey's just around the corner or whether you're driving to Cork, you still get an orange. That's just one of those things. That's how you prepare for a journey. Moses is journeying. Exodus 32, the chapter before the passage which James read for us, Moses is up on the mountain with God. And he is away so long that the people of Israel begin to think in their heads, maybe he's not coming back. Maybe we should just do our own thing here. And so they gather up all their gold jewelry, they gather up all this precious stuff, they melt it down, they create this wonderful golden calf, and they worship it. They've forgotten. Let's just do our own thing. And Moses comes back down the mountain, and there's the whole interplay of God saying, well, listen, you folks can go to the promised land if you want, but I'm not going with you. Look at you. I'm not going with you. Take yourselves off. I'm not going with you. Moses prepares for that journey. And Moses has three things. This is proof that Moses was Presbyterian. He prepared for three-point sermons. He had three things that he asked for in this chapter 33. As he prepares to set off on this journey, verse 13, he simply says, God, teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. If I'm going on this journey, Lord, I'd like to know how you want me to travel. I'd like to know what your priorities are. I'd like you to know how you want me to live as I journey for you. Lord, teach me your ways. There were lots of different ways that Moses could possibly have made that journey. Lots of different attitudes. You can look at the Israelites who are grumpy. They're called in this passage that stiff-necked. Teach me your ways, Lord. I don't want to be grumpy and stiff-necked. I want to journey in your way, Lord. Teach me your ways. And he asks this again, verse 13, so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. So it's not just about getting through this journey. As Ali has reminded us, it's about the journey itself. Lord, teach me your ways. Teach me how to live. Teach me how to travel. Teach me how to journey so that I may continue to know you and continue to find favor with you. That's the first thing that Moses asked for. Lord, in the midst of all this confusion, in the midst of all the pressures that I face from all around me, teach me your ways. And then verse 15. God has already said, listen, if you want to worship golden calves, I'm not going with you. And Moses simply says, if your presence does not go with us, if you're not going with us, God, do not send us up from here. Don't send us away from here. In Moses' thinking, it was much better to stay in the desert with God than even to go to this promised land without him. It was preferable to stay in this desert place, which was hard, which was difficult, where God was present with him, than to do all that traveling to this promised land without him. So Moses simply says, give me your presence. Go with us. Go with us. Now, it could be this is just some sort of divine sat-nav. Lord, we don't know where we're going, so we need you. We need you to guide us through this thing. We need you to get us there. Is Moses just asking God to be with him so he doesn't get lost? But again, as you read down through this, you find this lovely statement. Moses said, go with us. Be present with us. And here it is. What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? What else, apart from your presence with us, will distinguish us from everyone else? Maybe other nomadic people moving around in that desert. God, what sets us apart from them? What sets us apart? It's your presence. Lord, go with us. How else will we be distinguished from everyone else on the face of the earth? It's interesting. Other things could have distinguished them. Maybe their ethnicity, maybe their language, maybe their accents, maybe their traditions and their customs. Lots of things could have set them apart from other people. But Moses says, no, you know what the most important thing is? The fact that you're with us. That's what sets us apart. Teach me your ways. May I have your presence with me. And verse 18, now show me your glory. Show me your glory. You remember the story of Isaiah in the temple? Isaiah, who goes into to worship in the temple and gets caught up in this wonderful vision of God's holiness, God's glory, God's majesty, God's might. He gets caught up in this wonderful vision and he realizes not only the holiness of the God, the glory of the God who has called him, but also his own failings. And in that mix of this holy God who has called him and his realization that he's far from holy, in that mix, God works in him. God works in him. You remember the story, I'm a man of unclean lips. I live with a people whose lips are unclean. And a coal is taken from the temple and is put in his lips, it's cleaned off. And God calls Isaiah in this mix of the holiness of God and the sinfulness of that man. Moses says, God, show me your glory. There's so much else going on. There's so much that's pressurizing Moses' life. You know what? I need to be recalibrated. I need to be brought back, given a sense of direction. I need you, Lord, to show me your glory so that I know who I serve. So as Moses gets ready, show me your glory. It's interesting. Someone once said, the only cure for a stiff neck is a bent knee. Moses, in the midst of this stiff-necked people, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Teach me your ways. May I know your presence with me. Show me your glory. That's how Moses prepared for the rest of this journey. I look around and I see lots of people, and each of us is on a journey. It's a journey of faith. Maybe it's just those few faltering first steps. Maybe it's a journey of faith that you've been on for a long time. Maybe it's a different journey that's happening in your life at the moment. Just something's changing and you're journeying. Lord, teach me your ways. Teach me how I can travel this part of my journey. In these days, Lord, which are difficult, in these days where I'm anxious, in these days, Lord, where I'm just unsure about the future, Lord, teach me your ways. In these days, Lord, where it's sometimes difficult to be a Christian, Lord, in the face of all the other voices around me, teach me your ways. In these days, Lord, when it's difficult to be different for Jesus, Lord, may I know your presence with me. What will set us apart? The presence of God with us. So when Jesus is born, one of the names that's given to him, simply that name, Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. May I know your presence as I journey. Show me your glory. The writer to the Hebrews simply says Jesus is the radiance of the Father's glory. When we, as we've been reminded, fix our eyes on Jesus, we have a glimpse of the glory of God. We're recalibrated. We reset our compass. We reset our sat-nav, whatever the picture is we need to have. We reset ourselves on this journey with God. Teach me your ways. May I know your presence with me. Show me your glory. So what are you taking for your journey? Pray together.